All right,
Love
so.
Talk Radio.
All right, good morning. This is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Good to be with everyone today. This is our technical Thursday day, and we're doing a little audio adjustments right now. And so thank you for your patience. At 10 o'clock in 1 hour from now, Patricia Joy will be up live on Deliverance, the Roundtable Discussion. And I hope you all will stick around for that. But right now we're doing audio testing to figure out how both Blog Talk Radio and the Omega Radio will work together with a crystal clear sound. And working with me today is Daniel. He's behind the scenes, and he's from the Best Buy Geek Squad. And these guys, I've done business with them through the years. They're awesome. So hopefully everything will work out. Maybe you could actually help in this work that we're doing. And I do have some friends that are calling in right now. And in just a minute, when I get some instruction, I'll go ahead and maybe open some lines up and see how things are sounding. And I'm trusting that they're sounding okay on the Omega Radio Network right now and even on Blog Talk Radio. But I'd like to know if we are. Maybe we can get a sound check coming from without on how this is looking right now. So let me just go ahead and take this call real quick, if I may. And I hope I don't embarrass anybody, but our caller coming in from 224. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. How are you today? Anybody out there want to say hello? 224. All right. So sometimes people just are calling in to listen. They don't want to talk. So we'll just wait on that for a minute. In just a few seconds here, we'll probably get a few other calls coming in and we'll see how that does. But right now I'm going to check on the, I'll check on the Omega Radio Network and see how we're doing there. Let me see. So test 1, 2, and it looks like we're going to, here's the radio. Let's see how this goes. So test 1. All right. So we have a pretty good sound coming through Omega Radio. And then on the Blog Talk Radio, I'm not sure what's going on right now, but normally I did let people know yesterday we would be doing this, so I don't know. But let me try area code 224 one more time. Good morning, area code 224. Are you available to say hello? Good morning, area code 224. Okay, so not yet. So what do we need to do?
So where are you hearing the echo?
Okay, so when somebody calls in, like for example,
you're hearing it here.
Yeah, you want me to call you in? I could call in with this. We know we're going live there pretty well. And so if I were to call into the program, which is, let's see, 1-8-3-6-9-0-3-2-6, I called in. Now that's really unusual. Normally that's pretty well lit. So I'm going to pop up here right now. That's my number. And then I'll go ahead and so I'll talk through this and tell me how that sounds. And you could go through the microphone if you want to. And I'll just say, good morning. Hello.
Yeah, I'm not hearing you.
Okay, so you're not hearing me. And what does that have to do with, I guess? So if I'm a caller calling in.
So I can hear you through the mic, I think.
Okay, so we're just chatting a little bit, and we're doing a sound check on the Omega Radio Network and through Blog Talk Radio. And I've got Daniel with us here. I think that was somebody, caller just went out. So we kind of canceled the program yesterday is what we did. Okay. So they all listened. Yikes. And I can hear when I'm talking, it echoes back to me as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you talking. You're here.
Now I hear you clear.
Okay.
But there's echo.
Okay, so you're hearing yourself talk. And yourself again?
That is correct.
Okay.
Pretty much. Test 1, 2, 3.
Can you hear me talking?
You're clear.
Okay. But you can hear yourself as well.
But I can hear myself in the background.
Okay.
So here's some calls coming. Let's take a call here.
I'll share with Pastor Ken.
Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you?
Well, good morning, Pastor. I just dialed in, and I just kind of started to listen to the show.
Well, you got to be instant in season and out of season. Thank you for just for a moment. Yeah, I know. So we're doing a little sound check, and I'm wanting we have an audio specialist with us right now, and this is Daniel. Maybe you could chat with him just for a second to see how it sounds. Are you hearing yourself? How does everything sound?
Well, initially when you first came on, it wasn't very clear. But it is now as I'm talking to you.
And how does it sound there, Daniel? Can you speak into that?
Yeah, I can hear just fine. Or I hear you guys fine.
Okay. So the only one hearing themselves is when I'm calling in, I'm hearing me. But no more. I'm not hearing me anymore at all. So, Ken, how are you doing right now?
Oh, doing fine. Doing fine. I just, I set my alarm. It went off, and I said, "Yeah, it's fine. Listen to the broadcast. What's going on today?"
Yeah, well, we're actually going to go somewhere today. I think Daniel just showed up, and the entire system just went into obedience and submission. It sounds pretty good, and I would imagine on the Omega Radio Network, it's sounding good as well. And let me just bring in one more call just for a test here. Pastor Ken, and I'm going to bring in Carmen here. Carmen, good morning. How are you today?
Good. I'm doing great. You sound like an echo in the beginning.
It sounds like an echo in the beginning? You mean when
yes.
I called you? Or?
Correct. Like a little echo, but right now you're normal.
Yeah.
Now I'm normal. How does Daniel sound?
Hi, this is Daniel.
Oh, Daniel is clear, and he sounds clear. Daniel been since clear since the beginning. You were kind of echoing the beginning.
I was echoing because I was standing
Pastor
next
Ken,
to the microphone.
With Pastor Ken and myself.
All right, like so Pastor Ken, you sound good still, right?
Where's Pastor
PK,
Ken?
PK, are you there?
Yeah, both of you sound. It's like she says when you first come on, it's like a little bit of a gobble, a little bit of an echo, and then it clears right up.
Yes.
And Daniel's coming in clearer than you are.
Okay. So well, that's okay because I'm on my phone. Daniel's at the microphone. Let me see how it's going over in South Dakota. Yeah. Kathy, good morning. How are you? Kathy, Ken, are you there in South Dakota? Hello, Kathy, Ken, can you hear us?
So,
but right now I sound clear on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes,
no
you
echoes.
Do.
I'm not hearing any echoes. You all are live, and I'm wondering for Kathy or Ken over in South Dakota. Can you guys hear us yet? Hello, Kathy, maybe you're on mute. All right, so I'm not sure where Kathy and Ken are. Maybe they just turned the broadcast on, and maybe there's some weather. I don't know. But if they hear us, Kathy and Ken, we'd love to hear from you because you're out of state.
Thank you.
That wasn't our sign, by the way, Daniel. So are they still on the line there?
Let's see. We did have a call drop. Yes.
Okay, so a call did drop. That was Kathy and Ken. Maybe they'll call back in just a minute. Well, Daniel, did you do something to fix that already?
Yes. In the soundboard, it was set for a loopback recording, which meant everything that was playing was to loop back through. So it would play, record, play back as part of the loopback. So I told it to just take the microphone instead of a loopback. So that way you can monitor and hear it, but it's not playing it back through the output.
You're as clear as a bell. You're as clear as a bell.
Yeah.
Daniel,
yeah,
could you speak a little closer into the mic? Just want to hear if you could go just a little closer into the mic.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, that sounds great. And let me just hit the 605 again and see if Ken and Kathy can join us. Now, the reason why there's echo there is because I'm close to the microphone. But Ken and Kathy, are you there?
Yes, we're traveling right now, and we've got you're coming in on our telephone, our cell phone. But your voice is kind of weak.
My voice is weak. How about Daniel's? Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, this is Daniel here.
Oh, he's loud. Yes, he's good.
Yeah, he's,
okay.
He's behind the microphone. Good. He's behind the microphone.
Okay.
So, but there's no static, there's no anything. Thank you, guys. Be safe out there.
Yeah, we got ice on the road. We got to watch out. Okay, thank you.
Okay, good old South Dakota. All right, thank you very much.
And I'll keep this away.
I think Daniel did it. I think he did it.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
All right, so what we'll do, I've got a few more questions for Daniel I wanted to ask him. But Daniel, I think it's done, huh? That was the issue. See how easy that is? That was terrific. And Carmen, we're still super clear. Ken, we're still super clear.
Yes, sir. You are.
I hear clear. Good job and fast. That was
all right. Great. Good job, Daniel. Thumbs up, man. All right. Very good. All right. Well, I'm going to hang up my telephone and I'll get behind the mic and I'm going to ask Daniel a few questions. Maybe he can help me out. So.
Wonderful, and I'd love to see what you did there. So I don't have to ever redo that again. That's okay. So that's a done deal.
That was right here. The connection to the PC.
Okay.
Was set on.
Got it.
So it would play, go through, come back, play, go through. So it was creating a loop.
Okay.
So I set it to dry channel 1 and 2. So these are the two that go in and doesn't play back through.
Okay. So we're on both of those, and we have good sound quality,
yeah.
And and I could hear just as well when people are talking.
Right. So
great.
Played in the monitor is not being played back through the PC.
I love it.
That's basically what you had going on.
Okay. All right. Well, that's awesome. That is awesome. And again, thank you, Ken and Carmen. We will get into a little bit here. I'm going to go to some little breaks. I'm going to put some music on. I've got to say goodbye to Daniel. And I do want to ask him a question off the air. And so if you all want to hold tight, I'll be right back and I'll play you one of my favorite songs. I'll be right back. Now, what happens if I mute me right now? That should still play through, right? Yeah. So that's what's playing. And if I mute me, my microphone.
Always near, I wait for you here, resting in the love that vanquishes fear.
Take care of your stuff, and then what I wanted to ask you is on our Facebook page. We go to Facebook. I don't know. I'm doing this all brand new right now.
Thank you.
I would just keep coming down here and keep doing this.
Yep.
And then when I marked it all, now where are the other 100, the others?
After you've added these, you can tell that you want to add more to the
And this
group.
Is the, okay.
And when you do, and there are restrictions, individuals can create restrictions saying, I'm not allowed to be added to a group.
Okay. And sometimes we get people on there that say, hey, I want to get out of this group, and I don't know how to take them off.
They can leave.
They can leave the group. Okay.
Yeah. Anyone who's been added has the option to leave
okay.
on their side.
So. And these are just people that we kind of meet along the way. And I appreciate this help. And that was wonderful that we got that taken care of. Thank you. And this is the only way to click, right? I mean, there's no way to cut and paste or...
Nope.
Okay.
That'd be nice.
Right? Why do they make that so difficult? All right. So there they all are marked. Create. All right. And Omega Radio Friends. And then create just a text here. Type something.
Yeah. So now you should be able to share to a group and choose Omega Radio Friends.
Okay. So if I just said... tune in to the Omega Radio Network at www.omegaradio.org. And then I would do what? Send it to this one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just send it. Now, I haven't named it to anybody yet.
Yeah, everyone in the group.
Oh, okay. So
you, instead of the individuals, the group, everyone in the group gets it.
Great. So every morning I basically go through a list of people that...
Well, now that the group is created,
yeah.
You don't have to recreate the group. You can just keep adding people to the group.
Okay, so people are responding, Pastor Ruben, Brock. Okay, good. So that's working out really well then. And I probably need to put another song on here. Let's see. Blog Talk Radio. Hey, guys, thanks for staying with us. We're going to get into a little bit of conversation here in just a little bit, but I wish I had another song to play for you. Maybe I do. Maybe I can go this way and see how this works, and why don't we put one of our favorites right here. Here we go. We'll put Mushing Ra-da-da-da. And that should – now, I wonder if that's playing right now on Blog Talk Radio. I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay, so I'm gonna wait on that. I'm gonna get back to here. I don't think that would have worked at all. That's asking for a lot. And then let's see, the Father's Song. We'll do that one more time. Can't hurt anybody. All right, so that was to 50, or how many people would you say that was? And then how would I tap into the messenger to find all the other people?
Files.
Okay, so if I just go like Omega, okay, I'll figure that out. All right, you did good. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, let's see where this is at right now. Well, it looks like we're doing good. We've got a lot of people calling in right now. We sure do appreciate you all staying with us. It's about 9:24. I'm going to say goodbye to Daniel, and we're going to get into the Word just a little bit. So, Daniel, thank you. Ben, I appreciate it very much. How do we conclude our business? Do we need to fill something out? We get to pay some money now, guys, for this wonderful trip. So just keep that in your Christmas list. Okay. Okay, very good. All right, we're going to play that song one more time, and then I will absolutely be back. Here we go.
Resting.
Christian man who's a media director of two churches to come and fix this audio. And I do believe that we're doing very well on the Blog Talk Radio and Omega Radio. One of our favorite friends that calls in all the time, Bill, is out there driving and got himself into a storm last night. And I'm hoping he's doing okay and trusting that everything's well on his end. And they got snow. I saw some images this morning and icy snow. We just heard from Kathy and Ken up in South Dakota that they are in the ice themselves. And well, it is December, and that's kind of what happens, isn't it? But here's what I'd like to share with you today. And thanks for staying with me. And if you have any comments about the sound that you're hearing, either on Blog Talk or Omega Radio, let me know. And if you have any questions or comments, the lines are open now. And if you would like to share anything, make sure you press one on your dial pad and we'll bring you right into the broadcast. And hopefully everything is going to work just fine. And so I was in Psalm 130 today, and I just felt this was important to share with somebody. Psalm 130 begins with, "One, or out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they which wait for the morning. I say, more than they which wait for the morning. Let Israel," and I want you to put your name there right now. "Let Vincent," let your name, "hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him plenteous redemption." Hallelujah. "And he shall redeem Vincent," or you, put your name there, "from all his iniquities." You've got to love that Psalm 130. Psalm 131 continues the theme. "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Vincent," or put your name there, "hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." So in both Psalms, we're getting this message of hope. And, you know, in the days that we live in, I believe that is the message, particularly to God's people, but so many people that are going through so many different things, there is hope in the Lord. And that is the amazing thing. I know it's elementary. I know that that message has been from the beginning of time with the Father, and yet it is relevant for us right now who will continue to place our confidence, our hope, our confident expectation on the Lord. And then one more Psalm, Psalm 132. "Lord, remember me." And it's about David. This is David writing the psalm, but just put your name there again. "Lord, remember me and all my afflictions, how I swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob." Now, here's the mystery in that. David wanted to build a house. He had the pattern of the whole house, if you remember, but he wasn't permitted to build the house because there was blood on his hands. So he passed on all of his knowledge and all the specifications, the blueprint for the house, to his son Solomon. But for you and I in the new covenant, the tabernacle of God, or the habitation for the mighty God. Remember David said that? He was wanting to build a habitation. He wanted a place of habitation for the Lord. Well, if you go over to Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, in the last verses there, in Ephesians chapter 2, here's what it says when it comes to this habitation of the Lord. Paul writing, he says this, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 19. "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners." This is to a new covenant people. "But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Listen carefully, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So David, in his limited abilities under an old covenant, wanted to build an actual physical house for a habitation of the Lord. He said he would not give his eyes any rest. He would not slumber. He would not go to his bed until he found out a place for his God. In other words, he put God first in his heart, this passion, this desire. For you and I in the new covenant, what we could say along with David is, I will not rest until I have prepared a habitation for the Lord. And what is that habitation? It's your heart. It's my heart. It's your mind. It's my mind. It's your soul. We are the tabernacle of God. We are the temple of the Spirit. We are a spiritual house, according to Peter. We are the spiritual stones in a spiritual house. That is a fact. And you and I should have this mindset, may God grant it to us, that we will not rest until our lives are a total dwelling place for the Lord, until we are a complete habitation. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said that the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. He had nowhere to rest. Well, 2,000 years later, his body has been growing up from the foundation, from the feet, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It's been growing up. Now we're at the shoulders and the neck area, shoulders representing the government of God, according to Isaiah's prophecy in Zephaniah. So now there's a shoulder part of the body, a neck part of the body. The head can come and rest. In other words, let's see his house complete. Like in Zechariah, they shout to the capstone, grace, grace to the capstone. And surely a God of grace is who we are walking with today. So I just felt it important to share with you and me today the message of hope, and that even though there are trials, even though there are testings, even though there are tribulations, there's warfare. Nobody likes spiritual warfare. I mean, we're not yet at the moment, the moment where we're ready to go where angels dread to go, you know. Most people are just simply trying to get their lives into a place of normality, and they've been working out of salvation, getting their minds renewed by the Word of God. They've been undergoing their cleansing, their purification by their relationship with other people in the local community of believers. You know, without being part of a local community, it's impossible to really know what's in your heart. And so, you know, this is part of the purpose of the community of the saints, so that obviously together we are a habitation all over the world, in heaven and on earth, God's people that have come to him by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are his eternal habitation, his eternal tabernacle. And yet in the local community, there is such a witness. In the local community of believers, this is where so much of the work is done, the building of that tabernacle. And it happens when you hear the sound of a hammer, the sawing of a saw, or the hewing of an axe, and the pounding of the rocks. And in Solomon's day, you remember when he built the temple or the tabernacle of God, the house of God, they shaped the stones in the rock quarry so that there was not even the sound of a hammer in the temple itself. They would shape those stones in the quarry and then bring them in and set them stone upon stone. And, you know, that's what God's doing with you and I. You and I, you're in your house today, your car today, your job today, wherever you are. And God is preparing you individually in the rock quarry. And, you know, everybody in the tabernacle doesn't hear the sound of God's pounding in your life to get you to be set as a member of his body. But that's what he's doing with all of us. We're all being prepared, so to speak, in the outer courts, if you will. We're all being prepared in the rock quarry, and then God is setting each one of us in his house, and it is an eternal dwelling. But again, this is not brick and mortar. This is the very shaping of our hearts, the very shaping of our minds. And folks, we cannot be ashamed to admit that there is a perfection of this work. We cannot deny that there is a completing. And that's what the word perfection means, complete, mature, et cetera, et cetera. And we will not deny that the Spirit of God has a passionate desire to accelerate his work in us, the spiritual stones, in these last days to finish up the tabernacle so that the Lord can come and fully display and manifest his glory through an ecclesia, a church, if you will, a building not made with brick and mortar or hands, a building that's truly from God. And the Spirit of God is the overseer of that building. And the Spirit of God is it manifests in the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the perfecting, for the equipping, for the building up of the body of Christ until we all come into the full stature. And so it's all under the tutor and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And it's not about emotions. It's not about skill sets that, you know, great orators. No, it is a work of the Spirit to build a house. And God wants his house built. And you and I are his house, according to Hebrews chapter 3, if we continue on with the Lord. And what does it mean to continue? It just simply means to continue to be led by the Holy Spirit, to continue to allow the Holy Spirit in our relationships with other people predominantly to work it out. And it is so important that the people that rub us the wrong way are accepted as being from God as well. I mean, there is a time where you have to bring some discipline to a situation that's not, you know, edifying anymore, that's more dangerous to the body. But everybody has a personality that seems to rub people the wrong way or the right way. I knew some of the sweetest people on the planet, and you would think, wow, this person is so sweet. Everybody would love, you know, this person. And yet there were people that had complaints even against that individual. Why? Because that individual, it was viewed by an individual to be, you know, kind of fictitious, kind of facade-ish, if you will. And so the body of Christ is necessary. We're told in 1 Corinthians, should the arm say to the leg, I don't need you, or the eye say to the nose, I don't need you? No, we need every single part of the body because it's those different parts that help us to become everything we're supposed to be, which ultimately the habitation of God, the tabernacle of God, is from the beginning to the end and everything in between, a tabernacle of love, mercy, grace, truth, light, anointing. I mean, do you get the vision right now of what the Bible is saying? I'm just quoting scriptures out of the Word. Do you see it, though? God, his tabernacle is a mobile tabernacle. God's temple, God's eternal dwelling place, God's habitation is with men. Literally, the tabernacle of God is within men. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the first of this eternal tabernacle of God. You and I, as spiritual stones, are built up. We're part of it. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He's the chief cornerstone and the capstone. And everything in between that is belonging to him in truth is set to be the eternal habitation of God. What does that mean? That God is going to manifest his glory through us. That's why the Apostle Paul writes in Romans that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so today, God wants you and I to have great hope. He wants you and I to have great faith. He wants us to understand what's going on in our lives, that we are being prepared for more than just a moment on this earth, you know, to glory in this life. We're not here to glory in this life. We are here prepared for eternal glory so that the God of all creation will not only be, you know, out there somewhere, but will literally dwell and inhabit you and I throughout eternity. I mean, God is good. The presence of God is good. Can you imagine his full presence in you, your heart, your soul, his love, his strength, his glory, without any darkness whatsoever, no sin, no fear, nothing forever. And, you know, somebody said that there are 400 billion stars in our one galaxy. Yep, let me go over it again. Let's put this in perspective for a second. 400 billion is what our scientists today estimate. Stars in our Milky Way galaxy, a solar system, planet Earth with all of us humans on it, our solar system in perfect rotation, and now that's just within our Milky Way. Now they're telling us that there are over 200 billion galaxies. And now we're being told that if there's over 200 billion galaxies in one universe, now there are multi-universes. more than one universe. So what is God preparing for eternity with us creatures here on planet Earth that were created in his image and likeness? Obviously, you and I, someone once said, if there is no other life out there in the universe, I know there is in the dimension of God, the realm of God, there's obviously tremendous life. That's another dimension. But when we look out into the universe, into the galaxies, someone said, well, that would be an awful lot of wasted space if there weren't other creatures. Well, I'm not so sure there are other creatures like Martians and all that stuff, but I do believe that eternal universes are reserved for God's eternal purpose. And I believe at the beginning of time, if man would have stood and had gone on, we would already be in the universal exploration of inhabiting planets and universes and galaxies. So I don't think there's any wasted space. I just think God has something reserved that we can't even begin to imagine. And I, you know, how do you conclude that? I mean, it's only a concept, but I'm told in the Word that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And I do believe it would be a great waste of space if there were universes and billions of galaxies with billions and hundreds of billions of stars, and each star representing something that God called them by name. I mean, it's just too much. So our momentary life here on Earth, keep it in perspective, is a vapor. In compared to eternity, it's a vapor. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. That's all there is to it. But you and I who have come to Christ have received eternal life, the gift of eternal life. And what you're hearing right now behind this microphone is not a physical man. I mean, if you saw my body, my face, my eyes, my mouth, my nose, my arm, if you saw my body, that's not who I am. Who I am is an awakened, born-again spirit through the blood of Jesus Christ, and my soul and my spirit and my heart are engaged after God, and so is yours. And if I looked at you, and you happen to be a male, you happen to be a female, you happen to be black, you happen to be brown, white, red, yellow, that's not who you are. Who you are is in your soul, in your spirit, in your heart. That's who you are, and there are certain things within there that are very complex that need to get worked out so that they could give glory back to God. We don't want stinking thinking. We don't want immoral ways. We don't want broken personalities. We don't want debris of the old fall of Adam. So the Holy Spirit's doing a restorative work in every one of us to make us ready for eternity. God is looking for his eternal habitation, and he's chosen, just like he said, he chose Zion. I want to go back to this psalm here. Just like God chose Zion to be his dwelling place, well, he has chosen the ecclesia. He's chosen man to be his eternal habitation. Check this out. Psalm 132, verse 1. Lord, remember me and all my afflictions, how I swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation of the mighty God of Israel, or Jacob, or Vincent, or you, whoever you are who are listening. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, that's you and I, we are a royal priesthood according to 2 Peter or 1 Peter chapter 2. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For thy servant's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, or unto you and I, his truth. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of your body will I set upon thy throne. Listen, if your children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Now, do you think God, who is a spirit, has chosen a physical place for his eternal habitation. Who is this Zion? Well, I know in Scripture, in the book of Galatians, there's a Jerusalem in the natural and there's a Jerusalem in the spirit. The Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. Zion is a people. He's also one of our dogs up on the ark. We have a dog named Zion, but that's not where God's going to dwell. So Zion is a people, and God says, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. And then you've got to connect that with Ephesians, that you and I are built into a house for a habitation of the Lord. We are what he has chosen. He chose man to be his eternal dwelling place. God's Spirit dwelling in you and I, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in you and I forever. And all God's doing right now is preparing us for this arrival. He's coming home. And you're it. And he wants you ready. And he wants me ready. He wants you cleaned up. He wants me cleaned up. He wants to put his mind in us. And Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. He wants to put his thought in us. And so, again, everything by the Holy Spirit for you and I. And then God says in verse 15, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David, who today is Christ, by the way. He's the son of David, but he's also the root of David. I'll make him to bud. This is the dominion, the power of Jesus Christ. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Wow. God has some amazing things planned out for you and I. I would like to do something, somewhat of a test, but what are your thoughts about what you're hearing today? What are your thoughts about being God's eternal habitation? Does it make more sense now that the Holy Spirit is at work in us to try to get us to a place of being ready to be inhabited? How many of you know that God is wanting to indwell his house, and you are a part of it if you're one of those spiritual stones? And so, does not the Holy Spirit have the commission from a father who has the right to go in? I mean, if you have a contractor and you got all these subcontractors, right? Plumbers, electricians, cement layers, wall builders, you know, drywall. You have all these subcontractors in there. Well, the head, the contractor, you know, he wants to move those subcontractors along. Come on, guys, get it done. Owner is looking for his house. And in these last days, the contractor, the Holy Spirit, is wanting the fivefold ministry, if you will, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. We don't put any particular credit in that, just the way that God chose it. He's wanting it to get accelerated, to get the work done. Are we cooperating? Are you cooperating? Let's talk about it. We've got a number of minutes here. Number to call is 818-369-0326. I want to thank everybody out there today that's been on the Messenger and Facebook, giving a little thumbs up to everything. Really appreciate that. This was our technical Thursday. We had an audio specialist come in and fix everything. I'm excited about that. But I'm more excited about the conversation we're having, and I'd love to share it with you. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Press 1 on your dial pad. And seeing that we've got about 8 minutes left in the broadcast, that's enough time to take a number of calls or one really good one. Let's take this first call from our traveling friends up in South Dakota, Ken and Kathy Bruns. Good morning, y'all. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, we made it to our destination. We had 100 miles to go, and we drove out of the ice thing. So then we could concentrate more on what you were saying. And what I perceived out of what God is asking and wanting to do in his people at this hour is maturity in the Spirit of God. And it's coming. We are to be the light and the salt, and we are the tabernacle. I believe that. And it's going to be the Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I don't know if it's going to be happening in some of these big churches and mega things, but I think it's, you know, on the highways and byways.
Yeah, a little bit here, a little bit there. We could call each church a rock quarry, if you will. And God goes into all these quarries. He finds those particular stones and begins to shape them and move them into, you know, more preparation. Yeah, I'm excited about being an eternal dwelling place of God, a house, a habitation. That's amazing to me. Did we lose you, Kathy?
Oh, yes. No, you didn't. Okay, comment. Okay. Yes, I believe that we are the tabernacle of Jesus Christ. And this is quite a thing, process to develop in a person's life. And the tests are there. And I think about, you know, even when Abraham had to take Isaac up on the mount and he was going to sacrifice his son, God was testing him. And this was the son that was with the covenant of God. And God has to dethrone everything, I believe, out of our lives that is not God. You know what I mean? It has to be, we have to live here while we're earthlings, but we cannot love these things above God Almighty.
Oh, amen to that. And quite frankly, in comparison to where we're going, it wouldn't be worthy. It just would not be worthy to do that. So I appreciate your call. I truly do. I thank you for calling in. You've been very kind. I want to thank you for all your prayers as well, Kathy and Ken, and for anybody else that's out there listening. Folks, today we've just turned another corner. I don't know if you all have been spending time just turning your phone on or a computer, and if you're listening to the Omega Radio Network, which is at www.omegaradio.org. That's it, omegaradio.org. And then you hit the listen live button, and then you click down there on the little play. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have been broadcasting some amazing programs. I mean, everything you'd go out there and look for. And I appreciate, by the way, those of you that are sending YouTubes and so forth, because I'm converting them into audio and putting them on Omega Radio on a daily basis. So we have just turned a corner today. Blog Talk is working. Omega Radio is working. Everything is moving forward. We're excited about it. Most likely, Daniel Seckham will be joining us on the air tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. We had a great interview yesterday with Carl Gallups. Next Wednesday, we have an interview with Patrick Wood, Theocracy Rising, and his new book. Talked with Brother Joe Sweet out of Lancaster, California yesterday. He'll be joining us on the air as well. And also, again, talked with Brother Dr. Brock Hollett, who wrote the book Debunking Preterism. He's going to be joining us back on the air again. So we are in a moving forward, and I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for helping us to do this. This was God's work, and it started out pretty good. We were excited, and things looked like they got really bad, and all of a sudden, because of your prayers and because of your faithfulness, we are sitting here today with a brand new computer. We have our Omega radios going forth 24/7. We're coming through loud and clear on Blog Talk Radio. So we're just thanking God for everything that he's doing. And now it depends on you and I listening to the Omega Radio Network. Get on, you know, spend as much time as you can, and then let other people know that there's a 24/7 broadcast of David Wilkerson, Dimitri Dudeman, Mark Taylor, Derek Prince, Patricia Xavier, and Doug Cinch, and I could go Mike Adams, Daniel Seckham, Christopher Manti, Jake McCann, you know, everybody is out there. It's on the Omega Radio 24/7. You're going to find preachers that, you know, just have relevant messages and then good updates on what's going on around the world. And then we get to go live every day, Monday through Friday. So I just want to say thank you very, very much. In about 2 minutes, Patricia Joy Xavier is going to be joining live on her broadcast, Deliverance, the Roundtable Discussion. And that's a 30-minute program that comes here. And then we'll just begin again with that 24/7. So, Kathy, once again, thank you for the call. Stay safe up there in South Dakota. And to the rest of you, God bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Unless we have a special meeting, we'll make sure we let everyone know. But we should be back on the air tomorrow, broadcasting live, and I'm just loving what happened today. So thank you all. God bless you. And remember, we're here doing the best we can to get everybody ready for what's coming down the pike and the greater preparation to literally be an eternal dwelling place of God. Keep in hope, faith, and love. These three remain, but the greatest of these is love. We'll see you tomorrow. Patricia Joy Xavier up in about 30 seconds.
Praise be to God, another day we have been given to get it right. In fact, if we begin to appreciate every day that God alerts us by waking us up in the morning and saying, here is the day, what a blessing to make the will of God and allow the will of God through prayer and supplication to become a part of who we are. And for change to come in the most incredible way we've ever known. Okay, what was said was pretty incredible this morning by Pastor Vincent Xavier. We understand that God has called us to a work, and this work is to reach people all over the world with what we believe is God's absolute truth. Now, there's always more truth to learn, and I understand that. But the wisdom of God is for people to understand the word that has been granted to us in the Bible in such depth that it is revelation knowledge to change our lives forever. That's pretty good. And he said to all that are willing and his disciples, go into all the world and teach them those things which I have taught you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In that name. And what we are doing is that very thing that has been requested of our Heavenly Father, and not only to ourselves, but to you. And with your help, you are also doing it because you're making it possible for multitude of people all over the world to be reached with God's divine wisdom, with God's divine knowledge, and with God's divine understanding, and not with just religiosity that keeps people in the box. Knowing and understanding the Word of God is one thing. Just knowing it is another. My people perish from a lack of knowledge. The knowledge has to be fulfilled with understanding and wisdom. That is revelation knowledge. And God has granted us the ability to do this with the prophetic utterance of what lies ahead, that we may be ready in a time such as this to do great exploits, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to overcome demonic presence. It's been done for us, but we need the wisdom and understanding and knowledge to know how we can fulfill that which has been done for us already within our own life by executing the judgment that has been granted. So, as Pastor was speaking about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit and the house of God, there is a scripture that I am reminded of that I love. I loved it from the first time I ever heard it. It speaks in this manner, but you are come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable hosts of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn ones who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. You know, How often have you heard that scripture ministered? How often have you been part of that scripture within your own spirit and asked the question, what is meant by we have come? You have come. It is a present meaning. It doesn't say we will come, but that we have, you have come. And you have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is that place in the latter days where men will stand that are of the 144,000 from every tribe of Israel. But body of Christ, you have been grafted in. The Bible tells us clearly that we have been grafted in, and we are part of that wonderful experience of Mount Zion. And what is Mount Zion? It is the city, as Pastor was talking about, of the living God. And this city is living stones built one upon another. In other words, it's a type and shadow of who we are, the Jew and the Gentile as one new man on the earth. It is a heavenly, the heavenly Jerusalem. In other words, the spiritual part of what Jerusalem was created for in the first place. Jerusalem was to be a mount of power and truth for the whole world in its natural state. But it never began and it never came to that place. Oh, it began to a degree in Jesus Christ, but it never came to that place of mounting to be the absolute miracle making power of government for the whole world, because Jesus Christ was not received by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and many of the Jews of that day, 2,000 years ago. But there was a remnant Jew who did, a remnant people who received him into themselves at the as the true Messiah, as the true living Christ. And we also have become knowledgeable of that living Christ. And we have been grafted in with those of Jews who understand their Messiah, the anointed one, being Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the living Christ for eternity. So what is it saying? You are come to Mount Zion, that place, that incredible spiritual place, and to the city of the living God, his city of living stones, of human beings made perfect, the heavenly Jerusalem. And I'm going to speak of that living stone of people made perfect. The heavenly Jerusalem, the spiritual part of Jerusalem that has been made without hands, but by God Almighty through living stones of those who have been made perfect, and to innumerable host of angels. There are angelic beings all around and about us of those who are, of us who have received the Messiah as the truth and the only truth, because through him all things were created. So we have come to that, to the general assembly. The General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn Ones. In other words, we have been born again. Firstborn. Firstborn of those that lived 2,000 years ago, that were born again, and we have become now born again, who are enrolled in heaven. Our names are written in the Book of Life. And to God, God, the true and living God, the only living God, the judge of all, who judges all things because he has created through Jesus Christ all things. And that's a whole new teaching in itself, or another teaching in itself. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. Were they made perfect here on earth or in heaven? Well, they are in heaven. for those that have already passed on into that dimension. But also on earth, God says that we should be perfect as our heavenly, or the word says through God Almighty, as our heavenly Father is perfect. Be ye perfect. It is mentioned a number of times in Scripture, meaning be mature, be complete, be available, be enrolled in heaven to the church of the firstborn ones. Be part of that in your born-again experience, who are enrolled in heaven as you and I, if we are born again, and to the God, the judge of all, the great and mighty Father, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Is your spirit just? Yes, it's been justified by Jesus Christ. Has it been sanctified and glorified, made perfect, mature, complete? If not, let's get on there. Let's get on the course that causes that to happen here and now. For he is coming for a church without spot and wrinkle. He's talking about that. And to Jesus, the true Christ, the mediator of a new covenant, he's telling the Jews of that day, the firstborn, that they have become a mediator of a new covenant, and also the church of the living Christ today, and to the blood of sprinkling through Jesus Christ, that speaks better than that of Abel. Abel failed. He had it all. He was in Mount Zion, the city of the great living Christ. He lived in that perfect realm. No, I'm sorry, I'm confusing it with Adam. His offspring, Abel, with a fallen state, speaking better things than Abel has come. He tried all he could to be a light in glory in this earth. But because there was a fallen state, his gift was taken from him through death. Not that the gift doesn't remain. It was a type and shadow. But his gift of life was taken from him. However, there has been a second Adam giving forth children, that when they bring their sacrifice unto God, which is themselves as living stones, as Abel did when he brought the sacrifice of the first fruit. And that is the new born again experience. The first fruit represents that. We become that. We become that through the second Adam, who gives birth to the children to become born again as a living sacrifice. He did this. And then we become a living sacrifice in that we put away our old nature and those things that have brought us to destruction, even as Christians, until we understood what has been done for us. We are now at a time where there is a remnant people of God, and we hear the clarion call. We hear the trumpet being blown in Zion. We ourselves are on Mount Zion, blowing the trumpet to whom? The true church that will hear. Soon the latter and former rain will be poured, and it'll be poured out among his true believers who are making themselves ready. You have come to Mount Zion to make yourself ready. The blood has been shed. You have been cleansed, Jew and Gentile alike, who believe on Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. There is an outpouring which has never been upon the remnant people whose hearts are being made ready. How do you get yourself ready? By deliverance. By sanctification, by justification. It is time, body of Christ. There is bondage in the Christian body. And the reason for this bondage, that we don't understand, and you don't hear this taught often, that where we have come to, the reason is because bondage exists in the Christian body, and you're not hearing everything that needs to be heard. And the bondage that exists is that demon spirits are in control because of poor counsel. But it is not of you. You have come to a better situation. You have come to Mount Zion, a people made perfect. Spirits of just men made perfect. In Hebrews 12:23, are you going to take advantage of where you have come to? We have two choices to consider in obtaining the freedom we need from demonic oppression so that our coming is a truism. First, what we have to do is to become knowledgeable and learn to resist the devil ourselves. We have been granted this by Jesus Christ, who told us to do exploits when he walked the face of the earth. We have been given the ability and the authority through the Holy Spirit to do this work ourselves. It is time we issue within ourselves, others, and ourselves to become part of this successful movement. A method of ridding oneself of indwelling devils. We have to seek out a brother or sister who is knowledgeable in the area of deliverance if you don't know. And that's why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And if you would like to receive this book, you could go to Amazon and look up Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, or you could go to my website, patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com, and tell me you desire the book, and I'll be more than happy to send it out so that you could become successful in methods of ridding yourself and others from these indwelling devils that have come against our lives. Deliverance is a process of being emancipated. Suppression, depression, oppression that you're going to see more and more of. These are destroying forces within us. If you have ever been depressed, oppressed, that's what you're dealing with. It's possible only if we have come with a true, repentant heart to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we can get on with the program. And remember, Satan could find no sin in Jesus. We must seek after the same holiness. When Satan comes through whatever means of operation, if we open the door in some way, through our own lack of faith in certain experiences, he will come. But we must understand our position. We must understand our position of becoming a holy people. And when he comes, we should be made ready to open the door of knowledge and wisdom within ourselves that he cannot enter in by our born-again experience through Christ Jesus in the knowledge in which we have been given. We have been made ready, and we must understand that it is that state of holiness that we are desiring more than anything else. If you find yourself in a position where you're trying to live the way Jesus instructed and demonstrated, but you are bound and find it impossible to succeed, it is because of a lack of knowledge. The first is that you don't have the knowledge of his love for you. how incredible our Father has loved us with an everlasting love. It is we who pull away from his love. It is we who have unfaithfulness and unbelief toward this incredible love that he has been given to us, that he gave his only son. His only son. No other has been the only one but Jesus Christ. And who was he? He was a man that was born through a virgin. We are celebrating that some, but he has been born through a virgin. And that virgin knew a truth. And that truth is her heavenly Father was going to put within her womb the most incredible, dynamic experience of a body that has never been and never will be again. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, her bloodline was of Hebrew. It was of Israel. And her forefathers were of greatness. But she had received the Holy Spirit. And her womb was open to receive the Holy Spirit within her to give a body form to an individual called Jesus Christ, who was filled with the glory of truth of his Father. But we have been given the same through the Holy Spirit. And as we can rejoice that Jesus Christ made it possible, this body who embraced the Holy Spirit, truth of his Father, made decision to be obedient as a human being to that Holy Spirit, his heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit. And because he made that decision, he paid a price as a pure and holy lamb that has never been touched by impurity through his own choice to take our sins and make it possible for us. Come on. What kind of sacrifice is this? We don't even understand the length, the breadth, the width of it. And the tremendous pain and agony that no human being could have taken without the strength of faith. He said, Father, why have you departed from me? Because he took upon all our sin, and we don't get it. We don't understand what kind of love it was that was penetrated toward human man, mankind, to be likened unto him, but without having to suffer as he had. The only reason we suffer is because we put ourselves on that cross too. And what is that suffering? That suffering is death to self, selfishness, and the selfishness of human beings that we carry within us from generation to generation because we have been born in sin. And our minds cannot fathom absolute truth. It cannot hold such glory until we are born again. The sacrifice has been like no other human being on the face of the earth. Oh, there has been sacrifices. People that have been destroyed through fire who loved God. Heads that have been severed from their bodies who loved God. Who have been tortured on the cross the same way. But they have never taken on every sin, every demonic presence, as Christ did and overcame them on the cross by continual belief, even though they were in great darkness, in horror because of what he took upon himself, Jesus Christ. Then he overcame Satan and gave us this precious work of empowerment to overcome him also, and exploits that we have inherited because he gave us the right to do so. It was righteousness offered. Do we understand it? Do we believe it? Do we know the depths of such love? If you find yourself in a position where you are trying to live the way Jesus instructed and demonstrated, realize that you have the Holy Spirit to do so. Do not be in unbelief. If you are bound and find it impossible to succeed, it is because of a lack of knowledge, but you are hearing knowledge now. As long as the believer walks in the natural, as what they see around and about them in this dark world, and remains in well or self-inflicted bondage by allowing himself or herself not to believe the great love they have been given, then in the natural, they will remain. In self-infliction and bondage, they will remain. So how cunning is Satan? Very. This is why the devil does not want this message to go out to the Christian body at large and be put into practice. But all of you who are listening who have helped us, your part of making this a reality by giving us the blessings financially you have. And thank you for that. Thank you for that. God bless you. And if you would like to leave your name on my email, I would be more than happy to send you my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, for the blessing you have been to us without charge. And I don't even like to go about that without charge, but it's a gift. And this gift will help you to overcome your insecurities, your fears, your anxieties, your frustrations, your unbeliefs, your confusion, your depression and oppression. These things will be overcome and you will walk victoriously. Remember again, how often have I given this scripture out? And I will always do that. In Ephesians 6:10, we read, because this is such an incredible scripture. Last of all, it speaks in this manner. Last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must from the Lord's mighty power within you. Isn't it amazing that it reads not our power, but his power in us? Too often, body of Christ, we're doing things in our own strength. We're just not having faith and boldness to step out and say, oh, I'll just do it, Lord, because you told me to, and you're going to do it through me by your power. It's going to get done, not by mine. But, oh, the pride and arrogance we have. Another thing we must get delivered from. The all-consuming power of Jesus is in us if we have received him in spirit and in truth. I guarantee that no power of Satan can long endure. But you must put on, body of Christ, you must put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand against all of Satan's deceptive strategies and multitude of tricks. And be sure to study again and again the verses of Scripture that are given to us in Ephesians 6:10 through 18, because that gives you the knowledge that we have been granted the authority to cast out demons. Study them until the words become a part of you, as armor is to a warrior in combat, because, beloved, you are in a real life and death combat. And you have been given instruments to be able to do warfare through the word of God and the casting out of devils, the knowledge that you have been given in the authority that you have been given. You know, so many Christians are trying to outsmart the devil in their natural minds. It'll never work. We can't control thinking. It must be through the supernatural work of God in our lives. So through their physical strength, they are trying to stop the advances of Satan. Beloved, there is not enough strength in the natural mind to stop Satan. We have to understand it is a supernatural work that has already been done for us. And we have already been given the authority to do exploits. The only way to stop him is through the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit that we have already been given when we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit through the supernatural work of God. Though the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ has been the power, it has been granted to us as the power, the name above all names. God bless you. We will talk again tomorrow. If the Lord allows, we shall see what tomorrow brings. We have faith that God is with us.